My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, now that sounds really good.
Oh, you like?
Hey, get away! Get away from my wife with that!
What's the matter, carpaccio no good?
What? What do you do now?
They don't like a carpaccio!
They like carpaccio!
Oh. On WGR.
I make a carpaccio for you.
Sports Radio 550.
I talk all the time about futures bets and that kind of thing, but I almost never do it. Like, it's just sort of, I think about it, maybe. Then even if I do, I'm like, okay, put money in. That I, at best, I don't see the money for like 6 months, even if I'm right, and I just tend to let it go. You were talking about, but I know you're more active. You were talking about betting the Jets to finish last at one point.
I did not do that. I never got to that.
Do you wish you had? Was it that bad?
No. I still think New England will probably finish behind them. I was tempted. But no, I never got there.
It's still, I mean, last year, Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline, last year they did win 7 games,
right,
including the opener when they lost Rodgers, despite the worst, I mean, everybody, even Troy Aikman can bring himself to say something as harsh, like the worst quarterback play the league has ever seen. They still won 7 games, but man, it's still so much also at the same time hinges on Rodgers. And what did you think last night, Sal? I thought, you know, we know he's old. So when he looks like that, you're like, yep, you know, that's a guy who you'd believe it if you didn't know he was 40 coming off a bad leg injury.
It's a good way to say it, because every time I've been asked today about somebody, what'd you think of the Jets last night? I would say, well, Rodgers looked old and immobile, and that's what he is, right? And I'm even more immobile than I thought, but he just, if he stood in the pocket, he threw some lasers, man. He threw some darts, and that's what he does. He's one of the best of all time. But he just looked old and immobile. He couldn't move. And any disruption of that really kind of took them out of what they wanted to do or really thought and hoped they could do, I guess. And on top of that, they didn't run the ball that great. Breece Hall had like under 4 yards of carry. Yeah. Their offensive line is, you know, pretty average at best. I think everybody would tell you that anyway going into the year. The biggest thing for them that I was super surprised at, guys, after the first quarter, their D-line got pushed around.
Yeah.
I mean, they were just getting driven off the ball. And I know San Francisco's pretty good. They're a good team. But that was not a good sign for the Jets.
Yeah, I exactly the same here. I thought all along, Rodgers, you know he's old. And you shouldn't, even going into last year before the Achilles injury, probably expect him to move like he did 10 years ago. But getting out of there and extending plays has always been at least a part of what he does.
Yep.
You know, he's known, of course, for what? You know, the killing people on penalties, right? The offsides. He had one last night, right?
Yep.
It's like, you know that about him, but I see him just spinning out of the pocket and throwing it down the field, and I just don't think there's going to be much spinning this year, because I don't think he can move like that anymore. So, and the line, like the upgrades they made to the line, are good players with name recognition who also have reputations for being injured, and they're old. So, I mean, at least the tackles, all right? They did draft a guy that I think can step in when Moses or Smith both, you know, one of the other or both go down. They've got at least a guy there that may be promising. But, yeah, I don't know, man. The whole thing just seemed pretty flimsy to me from inception.
Yeah, and listen, though, I would say on the bright side, if you're a Jets fan, the next several games are much different, right? I mean, like, okay, that happens, but you still have a really good opportunity here to win four games. You got the Titans, the Patriots, the Broncos, the Vikings before you play the Bills. Their schedule is not that daunting compared to maybe the Bills, you know, where they finished in the crossover games and those three games and whatever. They have opportunity here. So, you know, all is not lost. They still have a really good defense. Also, do we even know what was up with Sauce Gardner for, like, that handful of plays that
Did we hear anything? I don't think that ever really got explained. They speculated that maybe he had been hurt on one play, but he played after that and wasn't getting looked at by trainers or anything. So I don't know what that was.
Yeah, I don't know. So it's always something with them. And look, I know the whole Hassan Reddick thing and, you know, oh my God, look how much they missed him. If Hassan Reddick plays last night, I don't think it's much different, to be honest with you. Like, is he really that much of a difference maker that happens last night? So I still think the Jets are going to be a good team, but I kept saying all year, all offseason, this is about Rodgers' health. I think it's even more now about his actual play than it is his health.
You know, if you don't mind, since we're on last night, this business with Christian McCaffrey being ruled out, you know, really almost shockingly on the inactive list, hour and a half before kickoff, nobody was reporting that that was even, you know, a consideration, really. And Jordan Mason, who was fabulous as McCaffrey's replacement, is asked by Lisa Salters on the field after the game, when did you find out you were starting? And he said, Friday. Then in the media room, everybody kind of pounced on that. And Kyle Shanahan, has the show ever sounded older? Or, you know, eventually I was going to make that mistake. Kyle Shanahan disowned that. You know, he said that wasn't true. And so Mason gets back up there and is asked again, when did you find out? He's like, this is why I don't like talking to you guys. You know, you make one mistake.
Right.
And he was just sort of frustrated and
I
just
felt really
next
bad
question.
For him. Like, moment,
me
really,
too.
The moment of his life to this point, athletically anyway. And he's got to feel defensive and emotional about maybe having made his bosses mad.
Well, you know, Sal, like, I believed him when he said he found out on Friday. Why would he not be truthful about that? But, you know, I just feel like this is probably something that happens all the time, and the players know with experience what not to say or whatever. But his coach just didn't say, yeah, it's true. Because there's probably consequences if Shanahan admitted that on Friday he knew McCaffrey was out.
I don't know. Well,
of course.
Yeah, I'll slow down on of course. Because questionable... You could tell this kid on Friday you're starting. We're hopeful McCaffrey can come in some, you know, passing situation, whatever. He's not going to be our meal ticket back, but we're still hopeful he can play. Like, I think that's plausibly deniable, I think, if you're the 49ers.
So didn't do it.
Yeah, I know. He probably should have.
He could have.
It's not that much of a smoking gun, I think, to have him listed as questionable and have him be inactive and have a player in his spot be told, you're starting. That doesn't mean McCaffrey's not playing. It just means you're starting.
Okay.
So
that's right. That's right. That we can. And when I said for sure, like, he would get in trouble, because I forgot he was listed as questionable anyway in the injury report.
Right.
It wasn't like he was just a full participant all week and all that. I would tell you guys, though, just knowing how it works, teams know who's in the game plan and who's not basically pretty much all week. There are game time decisions that can happen. But you generally, when you ask players, like, when did you know? Like, oh, yeah, I practiced all week. I kind of knew I was playing there. I kind of knew I was having that role this week. Guys, for example, here's a great example. So teams elevate two players every Saturday for a 1 o'clock game. While those players, even though they might be elevated on Saturday at 4 p.m., they've been practicing those roles all week. Like, the team knows who's going to be in their active lineup. So I agree that he, like, I believe him, but that's a good point make that, like, he doesn't have to start to necessarily be questionable or play. He could have just been playing in spot duty anyway.
And if that were all true, easily Shanahan says it and there's no issue.
Right.
Then the kid's fine and he's not in any trouble. But it must not be true, or else he would have just said, yeah, no, we knew there was a chance. And then he's safe. But he instead did something else. Okay. So enough about the Monday night game. You know, a little bit of a segue from that. You know, preparation, not so much in terms of, like, injury or practice squad stuff. But I think a lot of fans would like to hear you talk, Sal, about what you know from the Bills playing Sunday and then the next Thursday. It's early in the season, so, and it's a team, Miami, that they know so well. There'd be lots of time to prepare specifically for week two without, I think, compromising your prep for week one. Just wonder sort of how they do it with such little time between the end of Sunday's game, mm-hmm. the trip tomorrow. How do they spend, you know, these couple days here making those adjustments?
Well, here's the first secret that's really not a secret. They have to do preparation even before the game, like on Sunday, because you know you're playing another team in 5 days after 4 days after that. Even though coaches will say one game at a time, we can't talk about that, which is true. There are other people who are advanced scouts, and there's people who work behind the scenes to get the game plan ready. There's people who are working behind the scenes to know exactly, you know, what needs to be done once they hit the once that game ends on Sunday to start preparing. There's health, you know, and training staff that you're preparing for two games in 4 or 5 days. You're not just preparing for one game. All that's happening, even though the players are dialed in on Sunday, which is true, they're not coaching Sunday's game with Thursday in mind, unless I guess if the game gets out of hand and you want to give guys, you know, a little time off. I get it. But you're not coaching for the game. You're not coaching two games. You're coaching one game. But you have to understand going into, you know, the weeks leading up, what your schedule looks like. In this case, might be a little different than other cases when you're playing a division team. So I think the Thursday Night Football package is doing a little leaning more towards divisional games now, mm-hmm. Because this week you have Miami and Buffalo. Next week's the Jets and the
Patriots.
The Jets and the Patriots next week, right?
Yep.
So you have the other two AFC East teams. What happens now, it's a little easier because this is a team you're familiar with, this is personnel you're familiar with. Granted, it's a different defensive coordinator, but you pretty much know what you're going to get. What it looks like is you finish that game on Sunday, and it is about basically, hey, get your body right, get back on Monday. Any little bump and bruise, we got to take care of as good as possible. The number one thing players will tell you guys, it is about getting your body as right as you can, as quickly as you can. All the other stuff is just going to be, we're going to go out there and have a game plan, but it's really going to be, we have to practice and figure out what we want to do. But you're not probably putting in a whole new bunch of stuff like you might a week from now when you have a game in 11 days. It is more about getting your body right, making sure that you're going to be able to play in this game and do the basic things correctly.
Interesting point on the Thursday night schedule. The first six Thursday night games, mm-hmm. well, not including last week, the season opener, but the the prime games through week six are all division games. And then I know there's Thanksgiving too, but it's week 10 to the end are also all division games. Yep. So the decided majority of Thursday night games this year are division matchups, and that is not going to be a coincidence.
With all that said, Sal, how much year over year? I mean, the Bills are in, well, Miami would have seen the Bills with Joe Brady, but not necessarily with Joe Brady's entire scheme in place, right? Because he took over in week 9 or whatever, 11, whatever that was here. Miami, on the other hand, McDaniel, like that system is in place and entrenched. How much year over year does a team like that change? Like, for instance, when Daboll was here, going from year one to year two, or even year two to year three, how much gets added? Like, how much different is there?
Not much at all. The system's the system. The system's not going to change much. What's going to change is some of the wrinkles you see. You want to add something on, a game plan specific. Okay, maybe this team's a little weaker at their nickel corner. This team's a little weaker at their safety. We're going to do some things different in this time around than we did last time. Maybe there's, you know, different personnel on the other side, you know, from 1 year to the next on offensive line. Certainly, that's the case. But the system is going to be the system. The Bills pretty much know what the Dolphins are going to do offensively. I would think defensively, because Anthony Weaver's new, that's something they're going to have to button themselves up a little bit more on. But Anthony Weaver came from Baltimore. He's not going to run. He's going to run what he runs, and the Bills are going to be a little more familiar with it. They're going to see a little bit in preseason. They're going to see some in last week's game. So those things do happen. As far as Joe Brady's offense, same thing. They're going to know just from seeing a lot of stuff on film from last year, how much was Joe Brady versus Ken Dorsey? Sure, that's a question, but the system's not going to change too much. They've seen Josh Allen a lot. They know what he likes to do, and then they'll, you know, take a look at, you know, what the Bills did. So year over year, the system really doesn't change, Bulldog. More than anything, what changes is wrinkles here or there based on different personnel that you may have faced.
So today, the Bills on the practice field, traveling to Miami tomorrow. I guess today's their one day. It seemed with like walkthroughs and travel and everything for this game. And the big one is Allen in his left hand. Looked like he had some extra protection there. I thought maybe it would be interesting that McDermott yesterday said cleared to practice, which is not exactly the same as saying he's fine, right? I mean, just mm-hmm. he's going to play with whatever the injury is. But Do you have any suspicion that it's somewhat of a significant injury?
Well, I mean, he's wearing a glove at practice. He has a glove on his left hand. I think some tape as well down there. So I think anytime you see that, it would be something of significance because it's not normal for him to wear that, right?
Right.
As far as, you know, him being having a different, him having to practice differently, having to wear a glove, I think that's significant. However, he did play in the game and do everything else, everything he normally does. And he said today that it really, he did everything he was supposed to do. He felt good. He threw the ball well. I don't think it's significant enough to necessarily impact the game plan. I do think it's significant to note, though, that he's got this, you know, hand and the glove on the hand, and you're going to be watching that and how that unfolds on Thursday night.
I wonder if because of it, I also noticed, by the way, quickly as an aside, I think it appeared to me that he's got his ring finger and middle finger taped together in the glove. Like, you know, outside the glove, I think there's tape. And that can happen when you've got any kind of a hand or wrist injury. Sometimes there's a couple of fingers, if they're moving, can really cause you discomfort. So you just want to avoid that. Mm-hmm. So that makes sense. I also saw him take, he took some snaps from under center. So that's encouraging. The thing I'm leading up to, though, is I wonder if he'll just be a little more careful about contact, right? Like maybe yeah. This lowering the shoulder to blow the cornerback up at the pylon or in a hurtling Buda Baker, like maybe that's not in the cards this week. Although it can be hard, I think, for him to dial that back when you're competing, but just to take another shot there could be bad is all I'm saying.
Yeah, listen, you're talking about it, and I'm sitting here nodding like, yep, 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 and then I want to say, nah, nope. It's Josh Allen, right? Right? I mean, it's what he does. Right. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, he's going to play like that. I mean, we've been talking here for 7 years about protecting himself from himself. It just doesn't happen, but you're going to have to. If you're him, you got to. And the other thing is just ball security. If he is out in the field, if he is going to run, you just got to make sure, right? Because I'll tell you this, guys, like, come on, the Miami Dolphins know. They're going to take a shot at where that ball is being held with that hand, right? I mean, like, right. Hey, if you could jar it loose because he doesn't have ball security, that's something they're going to be going for.
You surprised the Dolphins are favored? I mean, I know they're home, but the Bills have been so dominant in the division, in the rivalry, 2.5 now, which is the highest I've seen. And 49, so 25-7-5, 23.25, that kind of implied score.
I'm not surprised they're favored because it is an early season game in South Florida. A lot of changes for the Bills. You know, I think the Bills are generally seen as a team here. I think the odds for the Bills to win the AFC East went down, too, and the Jets went up and passed them, you know, before the season started here. We're very close to it. So I'm not completely surprised by that. I also think maybe the movement in the line could be because of Allen's injury. You know, maybe that's something that's just kind of people are looking at and going, okay, well, mm-hmm. You know, he's going to be a little bit compromised. You know, you do have Taron Johnson obviously hurt. We know he's not going to play in the game. But, hey, the Dolphins have some injuries too today, guys. Again, for the second day in a row, Achan and Mostert did not practice. They had a walkthrough, but there was an estimation 2 days in a row, DNP, DNP.
Achan's a big one. I mean, he's just another speed demon on that offense. Yep. Mostert's fine, you know, all of it. But Achane, I think, he blitzed the Bills in those two games last year. Had a great touchdown run in Miami, scored twice up here. I think, you know, running backs, right? McCaffrey misses, and they still blow the Jets out. I don't want to overreact to it, but I think Achane is a third really dangerous, speed, you know, take guy. It to the house right. Kind of weapon for the Dolphins.
He is. I don't think Jeff Wilson's a bad player, but I mean, he actually has a nice yards per carry in his career. He's the guy. Like if these guys can't play, he's the guy. He's not Achane like that, but I don't think Jeff Wilson's a bad player. I mean, I think you could do a lot worse than him if you have to put a third string running back in.
Sal, before we end up running out of time here, Coleman's debut. Anything surprising at all? I would admit I was surprised how much he was on the field. Like he led the wide receivers in snap share. He was just behind Kincaid as far as skill position guys go, at least pass catcher wise. I don't have the running backs memorized, but anyway, he saw the field a lot.
He did, and I guess I would be surprised he was the most on the field. The 73% doesn't surprise me. I think that was about what I pegged him. I figured he'd be over 70%, but not quite what Stephon Diggs or Gabe Davis would normally have in most of their tenure here. But yeah, being the top guy, I do wonder if that is impacted because of Curtis Samuel's toe.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how much more that might shift a little bit and Curtis Samuel could rise up. his overall debut, I think it was pretty good. He had a nice, solid stat line. 4 catches, 51 yards. But you know what it was, guys? For me, more than anything, I just think it's funny. His day was exactly a training camp day. Every single day, we'd say in training camp, you know, he's not like catching all these passes, but man, does he make a highlight reel catch every single day. It's exactly what happened.
Right.
He was targeted. He was caught 4 passes, but one was like, oh my God, look at that catch. And here you go. And I think that's what you're going to see from him a lot this year.
Did McDermott talk about Samuel at all here? Like, because we thought, I mean, I know as training camp was winding down and he was week to week with a toe injury, that they don't have another guy to do what he does. And he was hardly on the field. I was almost stunned by that. But you mentioned the toe. I mean, was there any info about that being why he played so little?
Not that I've seen. I have to recall if anybody talked about that. I don't remember offhand. We did talk to Curtis today, by the way, and I'm sure you know Josh has that. Zach has that sound. Excuse me. And we did ask him about it, and his answer was basically taking it day by day. Right? He wasn't like it's amazing or yeah, I'm still fighting through it. He's taking it day by day. So whatever you want to get from that, it feels like maybe hey, quick turnaround here. I don't know if we're looking at maybe the same type of situation here on Thursday night.
He wasn't hurt even a month ago. Like, it seems like a long time ago. It was in Pittsburgh, right? In that week of joint practices.
Yes.
That's like August 14th, 15th. So we're not even to a month yet. Did practice in full, was not sort of labeled with an injury per se going into the game against the Cardinals. But it would make sense if he weren't 100%. Okay, Sal, anything for us today? Any questions? We're here. You got both of us.
Any questions?
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I sneak
that
one in.
They had to go inside. Max had his first flag football practice for middle school flag football, and he was really hoping to do an outside practice, but that rain came. Like that yesterday monsoon came, right? So they went inside. So I guess it's okay. It's a co-ed group, co-ed team here, and there's like 5 schools, and then there's going to be some games. That'll be cool. My question is like how quickly and how much should people be going to add Jordan Mason, Mike, to their waiver wire ads this week?
I mean, if you're lucky enough to be able to pick him up, you just got to do anything possible. Like that's the kind of all in. I mean, put it all on Jordan Mason, I would say. That's the kind of move that can win you your league. McCaffrey, not to say that he'll never come back.
But it's Achilles tendonitis now, Shanahan said today. And, I mean, I don't know. That's got lingerability. Mm-hmm. That could linger. Sorry.
I mean, what are we at with McCaffrey? 1,300 carries, 500 receptions, plus playoffs where it's another 150. Like, that's a pretty high threshold. So he's great, but it's the perfect team. Mason is one of my most owned players from the summer. Once the first preseason game was the key. I liked him last year, but when he played over Elijah Mitchell, and then right before the season they put Mitchell on season-ending IR, like, this is the guy you want. I mean, maybe of any backup in the NFL. Mm-hmm. And then last night happens, boom. I mean, how good did he look? So I don't like to spend like 100% of my – if you play in a league where it's waiver bidding – I don't ever go to 100%, but I would be comfortable at 90 for this guy.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. you know. Then if he stays healthy and McCaffrey struggles, he's running back one easily. He's Kyren Williams last year. You know, just you're going to start him every week.
It's good advice. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Good luck.
And I think, by the way, how about the team Chris and Sal in the with the first, highest points in February fix? Just wanted to point that out.
Did anybody pick Mason even in the August draft in that? I want to find out.
I do not believe so, no.
Not they wouldn't have we wouldn't have in the February draft, but I wonder if it, I'll make sure of that because that would be interesting too, like you and me and nine other people that are in the league. All right,
so let's make sure we get that information out on the air as soon as possible.
I'm on it.
Then.
I'm on it.
Thanks,
Sal, have a good trip tomorrow.
Okay, guys, thanks.
That's Sal Capaccio on the Western Hotline. His appearances are brought to you by New York's only outlet liquor. When you need to stock up, it is the place to buy a case. What's your outlet?
Mason is unowned. How do you like that? This I love. About all the time and just countless hours I spend on fantasy football all summer. You get to week one, and like the most valuable guy perhaps there is, nobody ever just picked him. Like you wouldn't have thought of him.
Right.
Some of my leagues, that wasn't the case. But this we do 24 rounds, the Sal one, February fix. 18 the night before the Super Bowl, and then six more in July. Nope. There are a number of guys. Lazard would be another one. Like, who was ever picking Lazard this year? Like, you had Mike Williams there. All the attention the McCaffrey thing got, Williams listed as a starter on the graphic.
Nine snaps.
He's not going to play much. They said it right away. Like, they knew he wasn't going to play much. Lazard, Corley played one snap. Anyway, you never know. 803-0550. I wonder if next year's preseason, like, are we talking about this now? With how many teams just didn't look sharp in week one, even the Bills to an extent. Should teams play the preseason differently? One topic that is going around right now. Thoughts on Bills Cardinals and the Dolphins on Thursday night. Our welcome, Mike Schopen, the Bulldog here, WGR.
When did you find out that you were going to be starting?
When did I find out? Maybe Friday night, you know, something like that.
I never told Jordan he was going to start. I told him he had to be ready a bunch, but I might have been Bobby or somebody trying to pump him up, but I knew he was going to have to play a lot. I told him that he was going to have to, wasn't going to be like usual. He was going to be a number two back that was splitting a lot of the time, but now he didn't know he for sure was doing that till today.
Jordan Mason, Kyle Shanahan, 49ers easily over the Jets last night. The Jets at 0-1, every other AFC East team, including the Bills at 1-0. Phone lines open at 803-0550 for your Bills thoughts. We've got Ross Tucker coming up in half an hour. Here we go. I mean, season is in full swing now, right from the Monday night game, which you watched most of. You got tired, you said. I watched that interview with Mason, you know, after the game. I, you know, just vainly sit there and wait for the FFPC to turn the, you know, scores in progress into finals. And then I want to see the 1-0s and I want to see the green and I want to see what place I'm in. And I do all of that. I made it for most of those. They're sort of one at a time. And, you know, I have a lot. So I do that. And then today it's like, all right, like Sal's question, not Jordan Mason in my case, but who are we going to bid on? I have one league where there was no movement allowed until today. Like nothing last week. A lot of leagues let you make, you know, our league, even with Paul, we even drafted last week, so there's no real need for
adjustments at that point.
Yeah. But this is a dynasty league where we draft in the spring rookies, and then everything's closed until tonight. So Mason, Isaiah Likely, the Ram receivers with Puka out.
I did go looking in our league, the Paul League, for Likely, and somebody's got him. I don't know if he got drafted. I don't remember if he got drafted last Tuesday or not. I'd be surprised if he did, but maybe he did. But somebody grabbed him already, probably off of that Thursday night game. But
I want to think he would have. No, you can't do that.
Oh, you had to wait until, yeah.
You shouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah, he's not listed.
So he might have been drafted.
Maybe he got picked, yeah. That's not crazy. You get late in the going, yeah.
I'll just to say, like, to Sal's question, how much should you bid if you're in a league where there's bidding? Just don't be shy about it. Because if you get Mason or Likely or whoever it is you want, the idea is you'll get him for whatever it's left, 16 weeks. You know, you want to have, you get that much for your investment. Whereas, you know, I think most people's instinct is to save their money. That's just how kind of it is in life. You're smart if you save, but you're sort of loose.
Sure, you don't want to get caught short at the end if you're in a pinch. But you'd like to have something left over. That's like NFL teams do that, right?
They've and got people.
Cap space, right? Sure, right.
Right? You're considered smart about if you save,
right?
But you know, to spend is kind of wild and reckless. But if you wait until like your plan is
all these years, I've been wild and reckless. Who knew?
And here you are. Somehow, weeks 8, 9, 10, you only get that player that you saved your money for whatever that's left, 6 or 7 weeks. So this is a much bigger investment. You know, you get more out of the investment this way.
Well, this kid has got a chance to play a lot. I mean, I mentioned the coach today, Shanahan, we didn't play that clip just now because I think it's new today, is saying it's Achilles tendonitis is what McCaffrey's dealing with. I mean, it's not much different than, I guess, his Achilles is sore. But like you mix tendonitis in there, and it just that feels like a thing that is just going to recur and recur and recur, I feel like. Like that, even if he gets to feeling good, I just feel like it could just, you know, I'm not saying it's going to snap on him, but that kind of an ache, I think, could be really tough. So you might get really paid off if you could land this kid.
Oh, yeah.
Because their offense, I mean, they're going to run it. They ran it like crazy last night. They didn't care. I mean, I would say they didn't care that McCaffrey wasn't there, but it did not impact, I don't think, how they approached the game. They ran it against a tough defense and had great results. I mean, they were just stomping. I don't even see what the final totals rushing were. I know he had 147, right, the kid. But Debo had a couple handoffs, too, and like I don't know if they got to 200 yards rushing, but they were just steamrolling.
180.
Okay. We'll stop the run when we want to stop the run. Okay, Robert Saleh. Good job.
You like my point about money? You think it's true in life? Just, you know, somebody who saves money.
Yes.
They get credit for being smart and careful and thoughtful.
Mm-hmm.
And if you spend money, which, you know, you would think just theoretically you're doing that to get more, you know, to have more enjoyment in life, maybe.
Right. Say like hypothetically, for no good reason, you own 50 guitars.
Hypothetically.
But just, you know, just as an example, and just throwing it. I mean,
it's a wild number.
It could be anything, but like, yeah, I mean, yeah.
But did your family consider you reckless for doing that? They're also an investment.
Yeah.
You want to say? You don't want to say?
My family, like, I don't know. My wife has never really pushed back on it in any way. So I don't know if she thinks I'm insane. Probably a little. She knows I'm a little nuts.
She would tell you.
Yeah.
Maybe.
Yeah.
Or just let you do it.
No, but there's probably friends like my friends who are real hard, like guys who gig every weekend or, you know, 3 times a week, and own 2 or 3 guitars, probably think I'm a clown. Like privately, like deep down inside. I don't say my best friends, I have a lot of best friends, a lot of really close friends who are that person that play gigs a lot that only own a few guitars. I don't think they think I'm a dope, but people who are more on the periphery be like, what's Bulldog doing with all the guitars? What does he do? Does he play them all?
You're collecting.
Yeah,
you're
right.
A collector.
I'm collecting. I'm
Why
a collector.
Do I need 70,000 baseball cards?
Right.
You know?
But anyway, it's not. None of that has been prudent. I enjoy having them.
Okay.
But
they're not. They don't appreciate.
A couple of them probably will, but none of them are nice enough really to get. You know, unless. You know, something happens to the marketplace or something, and these guitars become harder to find for some reason. I don't know. But no, I don't have anything that's really rare.
Okay.
I wouldn't say. But anyway, it's just a silly indulgence that I, you know, could have easily saved money and done something, you know, better with it. But
you know, I hear the way you're talking. You're not, you don't regret it.
No.
No, I'm just, you know,
but I think
silly.
But I think I'm open to being criticized for it. I would say, because it's a little bit of an odd indulgence, I think, for someone who's not actually like really a professional musician.
You know, speaking of money, so I think a lot of people rarely carry any cash, but sometimes like kids are back in school, you need $20 for this, you know, for right. pictures, you need, you know, so I could write a check, I guess, but sometimes you just want to give, like, I'm taking my son, he wants to go to the Clarence Fair. Here's $20, right? So I go to the ATM, and this is not very often anymore, but I needed money for this reason. I go to the ATM one day last week. Very simple. We've all done it. You put the card in, you type in the PIN, And, you know, what do you want? $100, no receipt, just let's go. And while the ATM is processing that, which really should take only a few seconds, what comes up on the screen, how was your experience? And like a green thumbs up and a red thumbs down. How was my experience, which isn't over yet?
I don't have my money yet.
As I don't have money yet,
right,
at an ATM. What? Why do I need to be surveyed,
yeah,
at the ATM about how it's going,
right,
in the middle?
Yeah.
In the middle of the 30-second process.
Yeah.
How was your experience? Well, let's see. I'm sitting in my car. I put the card in, typed in the PIN, waiting. I think it's all going pretty well.
The machine seems to be making noise. It seems like it's processing. Something's happening.
What I mean, was there champagne? Was somebody supposed to come over with champagne, yeah, or, you know, like sort of like hand lotion, yeah, or something? What was my experience?
Was there room to make a comment? Because how was my experience? Fine until now.
That was the worst part, easily.
Fine until now.
The only thing that wasn't fine was getting surveyed at the ATM about, right, how the experience was as I was still waiting for the money to be spat out, right, of the machine.
This reminds me of like the gas pump that has to ask you six questions. Do you want a car wash? No.
No.
I know where the car wash is. I know how to get a car wash. I'm here for gas. I'm in the gas area here. Stop. Oh, great. Oh, good. It's one of these ones with gas station TV. Oh, good. Stop already.
But, you know, how was your experience? You're not a spa, right? Like, you're not a restaurant.
Right.
You're an ATM.
I didn't.
There's no experience. There actually is literally no experience. I'm just sitting here.
I did not seek out this ATM because it's my favorite one.
Right, exactly. There's no. I didn't. It's just you're the closest to my house.
Get out my phone. I need cash. Which ATM do I want to go to?
Which is the most pleasant?
Right.
What if you give it a thumbs down?
I would go to the one that's closest to my house that I go to most of the time. I would go to a different one if there were a closer one because the lanes are, and there's a turn. It is impossible to get a vehicle half the size of my vehicle through there without getting on the curb.
Yeah.
And I'm driving a truck.
Well,
I've gone through my wife's car, and I don't know, I guess her car is about half the size of my truck. And you just cannot avoid smashing your wheels on the giant curbs. It's the worst.
Well,
it's too tight.
They're not going to ask you how your experience was because you're going to say it was not good.
That would be my feedback. Like, fix your lanes.
How was your experience at an ATM? I would just... Oh. I mean, it's bad enough. Anywhere you go to buy anything, they want your email address. So they can... I just usually say, do you need it? And they're like, no.
Right, no, right. Do you want to join our club? No.
No,
no, I definitely do not want to do that.
I'm thinking about just sprinting out of the store right now because you asked me that.
Almost without the item I came in for.
How was your experience? No, well, let's see. The numbers, the keypad seemed to be, you know, fine. It took the card on the first try. Nobody has sort of come up to me and shouted at me during this as I sit here waiting. Nobody's like sort of puncturing my tires while I wait for this money.
Mm-hmm.
That's been going, that part of it's been good.
Yep.
I guess overall good. We really need to give the feedback on everything. Well,
how was your
experience? you don't have to play this game out there, people. Just don't push bad because I don't know, do they give you like 80 instead of 100 if you you know, when you give the bad tip before you're out the door, like
That happened to me one time. I was on my way out on a Saturday night or something, and I stopped at a gas station to get cash because it was on the way, and I got $100, and it only gave me 80.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I don't think that's ever happened to me.
And it was right by the register area, and I'm like, dude, look, I'm standing right here. The machine just just cut me $20 short here.
Did somebody help you?
You're
lucky there.
The person at the counter gave me $20.
You're lucky there.
They believed me.
Ross Tucker coming up at 5. He was at Bills Cardinals, of course. We'll get his thoughts on the Bills performance and the Dolphin game coming up on Thursday. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, WGR. Bills a 2.5-point underdog Thursday night in Miami, total of 49. We've talked about, we pointed out a few times leading up to the season that the Bills, by the preseason lines, the odds, were underdogs four times in the first six games. I wonder if the Jet game might have moved. I haven't looked to the week six odds today. Come on. But Miami here in week two, then I think the Ravens in four would still be underdog, and then Houston in five. Bills slight underdogs in each of those games. None by even as much as a field goal, but the Dolphin game is moving that direction. I did look at, when we talked to Trista earlier, didn't mention this though, the AFC East odds today. Because the Jets
yep,
were...
I looked at that while we were talking to Trista as well. Yeah.
The Jet, maybe you looked at FanDuel, I looked at MGM, so maybe it's different. But the Jets became the favorite in the division late in the summer. So they were the AFC East preseason betting favorite. Today, I saw Bills plus 180, Dolphins plus 180, Jets plus 190.
That's exactly what I saw at FanDuel. Patriots plus 2,800 or something. Something
the MGM was 3,000. Right.
So, yeah, it did move a little off of last night then.
I would still play the Jets there. They were not impressive. But their PFF had their offensive line as top five going into the season. You're talking about rightly, like, stay healthy.
Right.
And last night was kind of rough. But that was a game they were favored to lose, and
yeah,
they lost.
It was, yeah, if you're going to be a Super Bowl contender-type team, you might expect them to look, you know, like they can at least punch with San Francisco. And they looked really completely overmatched on both sides of the ball, especially up front. More so offensively than defensively, I would say. By that, I mean, I don't think Rodgers was running for his life all night or anything. So they did a decent job on that side, at least pass blocking-wise. But their defensive line got stomped. But yeah, it's a very tough matchup. So they'll have an easier time of it, I would think. But those guys up front, that to me was the shakiest thing about it. Like, it's easy to just say, oh, Rodgers is 40, he's coming off an Achilles, he's going to get hurt again, right? Like, it's not so much that I expect him to, you know, he could just, you know, step wrong because he's 40, but the linemen that they went out and got to upgrade are good, great even. I mean, Troy Aikman's talking about Tyron Smith like he's a Hall of Fame player. I don't disagree. He's had a great career. But he has had a hard time, especially the last few years, staying on the field. So what they've done to protect Rodgers, if it stays upright, could really work for them. But I don't know how likely that is. Because, again, it's all age, and it's guys that get dinged. So that could be tough. I think that's the thing to me. Like, I don't know that they'll be able to give him the time he needs, and the fact that he can't move like he used to move, I think, is going to eventually be a problem for them.
Ross Tucker after sports. Mike Schoep and the Bulldog, thanks for listening. This is WGR.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr Sides and Bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
It's the most anticipated WNBA season in history.
And you know what that means.
Court is back in session.
Welcome to Queens of the Court, an Odyssey original podcast.
I'm your girl, Cheryl Swoops.
And I'm Jordan Robinson. All WNBA season long, we'll be bringing you interviews with star athletes, analysis on your favorite teams,
and lots of hot takes.
Order, order in the court.
Follow and listen to Queens of the Court on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.